This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C., as the debate on Syria rages now at the international community level. An email from Lois Lerner, where she calls the Tea Party very dangerous. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
After careful deliberation, I determined that it is in the national security interests of the United States to respond to the Assad regime's use of chemical weapons through a targeted military strike. The purpose of this strike would be to deter Assad from using chemical weapons, to degrade his regime's ability to use them, and to make clear to the world that we will not tolerate their use.
A red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. That would change my calculus.
First of all, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world set a red line when governments representing 98% of the world's population said the use of chemical weapons are abhorrent. America's not the world's policeman. Terrible things happen across the globe, and it is beyond our means to right every wrong.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Americans, by a large majority, want nothing to do with the Syrian civil war. We fail to see a national security interest in a war between a leader who gasses his own citizens and Islamic rebels who are killing Christians.
Russia's made this proposal. Russia is engaging with the United States and other members of the United Nations Security Council and other participants in this process. And we will see where it leads. It is certainly too early to tell if it will be successful. And there is certainly reason to be skeptical.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We will be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So let's make sure we clear those lines, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Folks, we've got breaking news, though, in the IRS scandal. The headline tweeted it out late last night as it posted in the Wall Street Journal. Lois Lerner, remember, she was the former head of exempt organizations for the IRS, former head of the FEC's enforcement division for a brief period of time, was the acting chief counsel for the FEC, the Federal Elections Committee. Lois Lerner's own words, emails undercut the official IRS story on political targeting. See what happens, folks, with these stories, why I tweeted a couple nights ago during Obama's speech that will we even be talking about Syria a month from now? I'm back on Fox News this afternoon, 4:10 p.m. Eastern Time with Neil Cavuto, talking about these emails from Lois Lerner. Specifically, these emails raise, they're between the former director of exempt organizations, Lois Lerner, who's actually technically on administrative leave, and her staff, and they raise serious doubts about these IRS claims that the targeting, it wasn't politically motivated. Check this one out. In February 2011, in an email, Lois Lerner advised her staff, including exempt organizations technical manager Michael Cito, rulings and agreements director Holly Paz, who's in our lawsuit, that a Tea Party matter is, quote, listen to this, folks, this is from Lois Lerner, her own words, quote, very dangerous, and is something chief counsel and Lerner advisor Judy Kendall need to be in on. But get this, remember how they blame Cincinnati? From the same email, she calls the Tea Party very dangerous. Cincy should probably not have these cases. Remember how they blame the Cincinnati, those low-level staffers? She says in the email from 2011, Cincy should probably not have these cases. Oh, but it goes on. Because her top advisor, Sharon Light, emailed her an article, July 10, 2012, from NPR, about how outside money was making it hard for Democrats to hold their Senate majority. You know what she wrote back? Perhaps the FEC will save the day. Think she's not partisan? Folks, we'll take your phone calls on at 1-800-684-3110. We continue our petition to make sure no U.S. aid to Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also sign that petition at aclj.org.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Folks, we are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. After the president addresses the nation, now we are moving on to other issues because, of course, you've got John Kerry meeting with the Russian foreign minister in Geneva today. We'll see what comes out of those meetings. Syria could come right back into the spotlight. It may not. You got a op-ed by Vladimir Putin in the New York Times. Had a pretty good writer, whoever was his ghostwriter on that one. I'm assuming he did not take the time to write that message attacking American exceptionalism, but President Obama, I think, opened himself up to a lot of the attacks that was in President Putin's op-ed. I guess he's a new contributor for the New York Times. I would say this, though, folks, when we're talking about the issue with the Russia situation, can we actually get a solution? Will there actually be a way to work around this? Take a listen. This is Senator Lindsey Graham talking about the possibility of a actual solution like this working by 29.
If you could take 1,000 tons or whatever the number is of chemical weapons off the market away from Assad, deny that to Hezbollah and maybe some al-Qaeda elements that could overrun these caches, it'd be in the best couple of weeks you could ever
spend. But you just said you don't trust them.
There's a lot of things I don't trust, but at the end of the day, let's try it, because the goal, if we could successfully defang Assad and take the chemical weapons off the market, it would be a great outcome.
And let me, again, this is now Senator Graham talking to Jake Tapper about the odds that this will work or whether or not this will work by 30.
I think we can all agree the odds are it's not going to work, but we all hope it will, but it probably won't.
Right.
Then what? Then what does the president
need to do? The president has to use military force to strike
without Congress, even after he's talked about the old
in my view, after denied, he has no
civilization.
Options.
Folks, again, you've got, again, members of Congress saying he's going to have to intervene if it doesn't work. You know, if the Russian plan doesn't work, we'll take your phone calls on if you want to talk about it, 1-800-684-3110. But it's one of those issues. You see that Russian Washington? Now turn on your news. See the rush anymore? We were about to launch a military strike. And now we're talking Obamacare, because there's that coming up. Debt ceiling, that's coming up. Budget, that's coming up. We've got breaking news on Lois Lerner. We'll talk about that. What do you think about Lois Lerner calling the Tea Party very dangerous? Very dangerous. What do you think about her responding to an email that hopefully the FEC will save the day for those Democrats in the Senate? when she was formerly of the FEC, and by the way, was inappropriately communicating with the FEC, violating 26 USC 6103 of the federal code, an investigation to a conservative organization, American Future Fund. Investigation launched by, one was launched by the Obama campaign, one was launched by the Democrat Party of Minnesota. She responds to her staffer who sends her an email about how outside money is making it hard for Democrats, saying, quote, perhaps the FEC will save the day. Save the day for who, Lois? You're a government employee that's not supposed to be partisan. You blame this on Cincinnati. Talk about it, folks. If you're part of the Tea Party, I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about the IRS, your IRS, people who you pay their salaries with your tax dollars, that you pay your taxes to, who are about to run your health care? Remember, that all starts October 1st. What do you think about the them calling you very dangerous? Do you like the government viewing you that way? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ. David, in the light of all the issues being discussed and coming about over the last, 72 hours with Syria and now about the IRS, these emails that have now been released from Lois Lerner, how does this change even our lawsuit?
Well, you know, what it does is it shows there's some partisan motivation that's right there on the page. You know, we have made claims in this lawsuit that there was a violation of the First Amendment because of partisan motivation. In other words, they didn't like the viewpoint of our clients. And now here's evidence that that's correct. I mean, this is something that could really not only open up Lois Lerner and other officials to damages, but potentially to punitive damages as well. I mean, this is so far beyond the pale. A government official, a bureaucrat, is not supposed to participate in a campaign and not supposed to have a rooting interest in one side or the other that shows in her work. And that's exactly what's happened here. That's what these emails show. And it is deeply disturbing for the integrity of our government.
I want you to understand, folks, in the email, Lois Lerner, the director of exempt organizations for the IRS, who claimed that the targeting wasn't politically motivated and blamed it on low-level employees in Cincinnati and had the acting IRS commissioner at the time, called the Tea Party very dangerous in an email back in 2011. The Wall Street Journal is now released. She not only went on to say that they were very dangerous, she said that her counsel and her advisor, Judy Kendall, need to be in on this, and that Cincy should probably not, in all caps, not, by the way, have these cases. This is back in 2011. Long time before May 10th of 2013, she comes out and says that we were inappropriately, we just found out about it from the newspapers, Lois. That's what she said. Do you understand that, folks? She was calling the Tea Party very dangerous back in 2011. No wonder she took the fifth. I mean, it just becomes clear and clear every day. On top of that, she's got an email in July of 2012, so jump forward a year. Her advisor, Sharon Light, emails her an NPR story on how outside money was making it hard for Democrats to hold their Senate majority. What was Lois Lerner's response to that on her government email account? Perhaps the FEC will save the day. The FEC, her former employer. The only thing she could be referring to in saving the day there is saving the day for Democrats. This is the worst of the worst of our U.S. government right here on display. And it comes from one of the most hated, if not the most hated, branches of the U.S. government by most Americans because you got to pay your taxes. But at least most of us believe at the end of the day we pay our taxes because everybody else has to pay their taxes and we all get treated the same way. And if we don't get that, if we don't like it, well, that's part of being American, kind of the process. Except for now we know there were people at the IRS who considered some of us very dangerous and hoped that our side on some elections lost and would do what they could to make sure that happened, even though that violates the law. And by the way, it had been going on now for years. And the IRS to date still denies. The acting commissioner said he found no evidence after his 30-day review of any partisan activity. I mean, here's the evidence right here, Danny. I wonder what Danny's going to have to say to Congress next week. Can't wait to see that. I know he doesn't want Obamacare applying to him, but I cannot wait to see his testimony when he's got to read through these emails from Lois Lerner. Not only should these people be under a criminal investigation, I'm waiting. Why are the charges not filed? I mean, this is enough right here. Folks, I haven't gone that far yet, but you look at this. This is enough for the FBI to wrap up at least the criminal charges on Lerner. And it's time for the committee to decide very quickly if they're going to try to do some immunity or not, because that's going to be very important. But this is someone who clearly took the fifth because there was much more than just some emails about collusion with the FEC or the SEC and maybe some misstatements about who was responsible. This was someone, partisan politics at its worst, invading a government agency that we have to trust because we all have to pay into. The IRS. And by the way, they're going to be running your healthcare system. You want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, what do you think about the Tea Party being called very dangerous? Stephen calling in from Massachusetts, line two. Stephen, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Stephen.
I do think the Tea Party could be very dangerous, and I agree with you.
I think the Tea Party could be very dangerous.
Yes, I think so. I like a lot of things that they have to say, but seeing what they did, for instance, what they did to Glenn Beck a few years ago, now I thought that man was really incredible.
Well, I don't think the Tea Party did anything to Glenn. I think you may be a little bit confused, Stephen. Maybe you're thinking the IRS, what they did, maybe the protest on the other side. Tea Party was defamed by that. And that got Glenn Beck. Remember, the people were calling the Tea Party racist. I think that's what you're getting to, Stephen. I understand you get a little. It's a lot of facts, but I think that's what you're talking about with Beck and then the advertising polling and all of that. That was all related to people saying that the Tea Party rallies that were happening, which, by the way, I spoke at one here in Washington just on Tuesday, a huge rally. Don't see any reports about racism out of that one. But when the Tea Party was at its height, Stephen, you had all those charges. Oh, it's racist. Oh, this is the old South coming back again. I mean, you heard horrible comments about a group of Americans who believed the government was getting too big. And then they find out years later the government was targeting them. What's really dangerous here is the IRS, who's still dangerous in my opinion. And for all the conspiracy theorists out there, guess what? Your fears were just justified. You have a government that will target you because of your political beliefs, even in 2013. Then lie about it, delay, wait, and hope you forget. We'll take more of your phone calls when we get back from the break, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. The IRS calling the Tea Party. Lois Lerner in an email just released, very dangerous. This is well before she blamed Cincinnati's office. Also said they weren't involved. And, of course, we still have our petition, and it's working, folks, to make sure that we don't have any military strikes that aid Al-Qaeda that was responsible for September 11th. Call if you want to join that petition, 877-989-2255. You can also sign it at aclj.org. A lot of new information there about the IRS emails that have been revealed. Go to aclj.org or call 877-989-2255.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. or add your name online, aclj.org.
Take more of your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. I do want first to ask Stan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, because I know this is a question many have. With light of these emails now from Lois Lerner directly implicating her partisanship involved here, the fact that she definitely lied when she made those statements on May 10th, their pending criminal investigation that Eric Holder announced May 14th, the seriousness that President Obama talked about on May 13th. All of this, folks, was about, again, lying. I mean, they literally did lie. I mean, Lois Lerner even said she did nothing wrong. I don't know, guys, do we have her May 10th statement pulled yet? Do we have that audio from when she was at the ABA? If we don't have that yet, let me ask Stan first. Stan, this has now invoked, Congress is right back. They just got back into session on Tuesday. We've been engaged with them. My dad testified at a Senate subcommittee hearing. I was on Capitol Hill to rally with a number of Senator Cruz, Senator Paul, Senator Lee, a number of members of Congress, good friends of ours, and a lot of great activists who came to the Exempt America from Obamacare rally. A lot of big issues coming up, but the IRS will be right back in the crosshairs starting next week.
Yeah, I interacted with members of the Ways and Means Committee this morning, Jordan. They're going to hold a hearing next Wednesday. The Acting Commissioner, Danny Werfel, is going to testify in front of that. And in light of these emails that you've been talking about that really do blow out of the water both claims that the IRS has been depending on, the fact that it was only based in Cincinnati and the fact that it was not political. In fact, Lois Lerner was cheering for the other side in these emails. In light of those emails, I think Danny Werfel is going to have to answer some questions, Jordan, that he is not going to be able to answer. Number one, why does Lois Lerner still have a job? I mean, she's still getting paid. Why is she still employed? And second of all, remember, Danny Werfel was tasked with doing an audit and turning over to Congress information just like we saw released in the Wall Street Journal. I think Chairman Camp and the other members of that committee are going to ask the acting commissioner, why did you not give us this information after you completed that audit?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal releases it, but the IRS commissioner doesn't get it after a 30-day audit when he's got the full power to get whatever he wants. It's a conspiracy, folks. It's a cover-up. It goes way to the top. We'll find out how far it goes. Our lawsuit, we've got a response coming in from the government. Early October, they've got to respond. So, folks, this is coming to a head. It is coming to a head. And it started not back in May 10th, actually, but in March of 2012 when we started representing these groups. And the current acting commissioner of the IRS, Doug Shulman, had testified to Congress when we started representing, it was 15 groups. Now we represent 41. That there was no targeting going on. And Shulman has said he was kept in the dark now. So this started back in 2012. But here's when Lois Lerner created the real controversy. When she came out and admitted what we were believing to building the case for as we started representing those groups back in March of 2012. Here she is, May 10th, 2013. Now, this is a woman who calls the Tea Party dangerous 2 years before she makes this statement in an email we now have, released by the Wall Street Journal, and also says she hopes the Democrats win in an email we now have from the Wall Street Journal. Here's her ABA statement that started everything on May 10th.
I have not done anything wrong. I have not broken
All right, that's not the right statement yet. That was not the ABA statement. That's when she tried to take the fifth. Guys, do we have the ABA statement? Let me make sure we've got that so we can play it for people how it started. Let's take a listen.
They used names like Tea Party or Patriots, and they selected cases simply because the application had those names in the title. That was wrong. The IRS would like to apologize for that.
Folks, as you heard from Lois Lerner there on May 10th, she and her staff, who called the Tea Party very dangerous and said they shouldn't be handled, in all caps she wrote, not Cincinnati should not have these cases. The low-level staff should, quote, in all caps, not have these cases. So by they, she means herself. Okay, but she didn't say that. So she lied. Then she lied to Congress when she said she didn't do anything wrong. She probably waived her Fifth Amendment right not to testify against herself. She's in big trouble. But I think others are too. And I don't think she's the end of this. We'll take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Gerald in Virginia online, too. Gerald, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jordan. I'm coming from Portsmouth, Virginia, and I don't need to know the exact wording of the questions that the IRS asked
sure.
Tea Party and or patriotic groups, but isn't there a standard of questions that require that give any political party a tax exempt?
Yeah, they have a standard form, and Gerald, here what that happened was, and Carter Hull testified to this, they were trying to create new standard forms. Let me give you one great statistic that came out of the Ways and Means Committee. Gerald, I think this will answer it for you. The IRS, on average, asked Tea Party or groups with those kind of words in it, like you said, liberty, patriotic, 912, etc., an average of 14 to 18 questions in their questionnaires. Those each usually have three or four subparts. So multiply 14 times 4, multiply 20 times, I mean, you're talking about almost 80 questions. Okay? That's could be hundreds of pages, sometimes thousands of pages to respond to. That was the average for those groups. How many questions did the progressive groups get on average, Gerald? House Ways and Means Committee found out 4. So even max 16 if you did all 4 subparts to each question. So 16 versus 80. But even a better fact, out of the progressive groups they found may have gotten a little bit too much scrutiny, how many got approved? 100%. How many of the Tea Party groups get? Under 40%. So they were trying to develop, and David French, I'll go to you on this, David, they were trying to develop a new screening method. We actually have one of those cases, we believe, the Albuquerque Tea Party, that one of the first groups that applied back in 2009, who has still not gotten a yes or no from the IRS. They were one of those first test cases that got those questions from Carter Hull.
Right. I mean, what's happened here is the evidence could not be more clear that what they tried to do was they began to develop a series of questions that were not questions asked of any other category of group. And if you read the questions, things like donor names, activities of family members, put any kind of indirect communication or direct communication with elected officials. Essentially what it was a fishing expedition into the very heart and soul of the Tea Party movement to try to figure out what they were doing. This was like litigation. It wasn't like an IRS, a normal IRS process. It was astounding. And the Inspector General very clearly found that it was that these kinds of questions were improper.
Folks, we're going to take more of your phone calls when we come back from this break. Remember, we've got another 30 minutes of Jay Sekulow Live coming up. If you don't get that, you can listen online. It's absolutely free to do so. It streams live, aclj.org. So stay on the line. We will get to your phone calls. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Talking a bit about Syria still, but also, of course, this Tea Party. I'll be on Fox News this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, with Neil Cavuto talking about these new emails from Lois Lerner and an update on our lawsuit. Folks, if you want to make sure, and I think this message is being sent loud and clear, that no support from the United States goes to help those Al-Qaeda forces in Syria, join a petition that Congress heard and that even the president heard. He called off that congressional vote. Do so by calling our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. More about the Tea Party targeting as well. We'll be right back in the next 30 minutes. If you don't get it, listen on XM Sirius or online.
The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
folks. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. A lot of people have been holding on the line. We're talking Tea Party. Lois Lerner, new emails exposed by the Wall Street Journal calling the Tea Party very dangerous and that Cincinnati should probably, in all caps, not have those cases after she blamed Cincinnati. She then also responded to her top advisor's email about how the Democrats were having trouble keeping control of their Senate majority because of outside money. This was in 2012, before the 2012 election. She wrote back to her top advisor, perhaps the FEC will save the day. Save the day for who? When their headline of the article was talking about embattled Democrats trying to keep the majority. Folks, this is partisan politics at its worst, and it's invading, you know, infesting the IRS. We're going to take your phone calls right now. Charles in Ohio, line 5. Charles, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. We're also talking Syria as well. Hey, Charles. Charles, are you there? It looks like, Charles, we can try to go back to Charles. Let's just go right back to Grant in Georgia, line 4. Grant, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
So how are you, gentlemen? The one thing I want to ask you, and, you know, I follow all this very, very closely.
Sure.
And I feel at this point in juncture in our country, we are, if we are not already, we are so close to a totalitarian system in our country right now that it's scary. And this is the problem I see is nothing. I see all everybody, you know, they discuss it. They go before committees, you know, but nothing has stopped these people from doing what they're doing.
Well, they're manipulating elections, and now they're about to control your health care. You want to go so far as totalitarian, Grant? I leave that up to you. I think we are leading to socialism, European style, where the government basically runs every important part of your life, your kids' education, your health care, your taxes, your income, everything, your business, they oversight. And then, I mean, David, when the FEC did not come in and stop those groups, guess who did? You wrote something great as we were talking offline. I mean, they manipulate elections. They'll even do what they can to try to help. And this is the nonpartisan side of our government, the ones that the president doesn't appoint directly. These are the bureaucrats.
Yeah, the nonpartisan IRS that was supposed to be, you know, that touches all of our lives, was trying to turn the Tea Party inside out during a key election year. I mean, there's just no question about that. Look at the questions that they asked. Look at the delays. Look at the harassment. They're trying to turn the Tea Party inside out, upside down, in a very close election season. It's an absolute betrayal of American democracy.
I think exactly what David said. You know, when the FEC didn't save the day, Lois Lerner came in, made sure those Tea Party groups were rendered ineffective for the 2012 election cycle. And again, this all came out of, and it's admitted from that IRS report, the 2010 election cycle when the House was taken back by Republicans. That was the surge of the Tea Party. Well, we'll take one more phone call before we go into the next segment. Charles calling in from Ohio. I think we've got him back. Charles, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I was calling about the Syria thing.
Sure.
I just do not feel that we should get involved in a civil war, someone else's problems, because I think to myself, as if we would take each baby that's aborted here in the United States and make a doll baby and lay it in a field, a football field, it would overflow.
Oh, I know. I know. You know, I mean, Charles, you know, the tragedy of abortion is that we allow this kind of murder in our country. And then, you know, we condemn the with moral outrage the use of sarin gas and we invoke children in the images. And that's horrible, too. That's outrageous, too. But I understand your point. And I think, you know, to close on Syria until we get to the next break, and we played some of my dad's interview with Sean Hannity discussing Syria. The big problem is there is like what Charles said, not getting involved. We don't have a side to get on. You know, it's not like World War II. It's not even like Vietnam. We're not fighting communism. You know, here we're fighting. It's Al-Qaeda versus Hezbollah. And the Assad regime in the middle, Iran in the middle, and the Gulf states on one side, and the Shiite majority countries on the other side, and those two terror groups battling it out. We don't really have an ally here to help, to aid, though some members of Congress have tried to make that case. It has not been a case that's been made very successfully. We've still got our petition up to make sure that whatever the United States does, it doesn't aid those Al-Qaeda rebels who are infecting the Syrian opposition and taking over Christian villages, forcing conversions at gunpoint. Call, add your name to that petition, 877-989-2255, or do it online at aclj.org.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, in just a moment, I'm going to play for you an interview that Jay did on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. He was on yesterday alongside Juan Williams talking about the Syria issue and specifically responding to the president's speech. And like so many of you, we've discussed this on this broadcast. I actually went into the speech hoping that I could find places where I could agree with the president. When you talk about war, when you talk about potential military action, it is a desire that I have, certainly, and I think for most Americans, that you want to be on the side of the commander-in-chief. So you want to hear a mission from the president, a purpose and a strategy that you can stand behind, whether or not you agree with him on most issues or not, because that is something where you're going to put military American lives on the line. You want to stand with the president. I came away from that speech sort of confused about what the mission was and frankly, not with a lot of confidence in our commander-in-chief. And that was something that Jay went on with Sean Hannity to talk about alongside Juan Williams. I wanted you to hear that interview. Let's go ahead and roll it now.
And that is why, after careful deliberation, I determined that it is in the national security interests of the United States to respond to the Assad regime's use of chemical weapons through a targeted military strike. The purpose of this strike would be to deter Assad from using chemical weapons, to degrade his regime's ability to use them, and to make clear to the world that we will not tolerate their use. That's my judgment as commander-in-chief. But I'm also the president of the world's oldest constitutional democracy. So even though I possess the authority to order military strikes, I believed it was right, in the absence of a direct or imminent threat to our security, to take this debate to Congress. I believe our democracy is stronger when the president acts with the support of Congress. And I believe that America acts more effectively abroad when we stand together. I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria. I will not pursue an open-ended action like Iraq or Afghanistan. I will not pursue a prolonged air campaign like Libya or Kosovo. This would be a targeted strike to achieve a clear objective, deterring the use of chemical weapons and degrading Assad's capabilities. Others have asked whether it's worth acting if we don't take out Assad. As some members of Congress have said, there's no point in simply doing a pinprick strike in Syria. Let me make something clear. The United States military doesn't do pinpricks. Even a limited strike will send a message to Assad that no other nation can deliver. I don't think we should remove another dictator with force. We learned from Iraq that doing so makes us responsible for all that comes next. But a targeted strike can make Assad or any other dictator think twice before using chemical weapons.
All right, that was the president from last night's speech. At the bottom of this hour, I want to remind you, we're going to take a trip back to 2001, 9/11, this day that we all need to remember, and also 9/11, 2012. Welcome back, Sean Hannity Show, toll-free. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. One Democrat describing the president's speech as one of the most humiliating episodes in presidential history. The speech has been panned widely by many. Charles Krauthammer saying one of the most odd presidential speeches ever delivered that'll have zero impact. Anyway, here to go over this is Jay Sekulow with the American Center for Law and Justice and Juan Williams, Fox News political analyst. I guess that was a cute line saying that our military doesn't do pinprick strikes, but I mean, what is the purpose of this strike if it's going to be unbelievably small, days, not weeks, no boots on the ground? You know, what impact can we have, especially with the lead up to this and Assad having the ability to move all these weapons? Juan?
Well, I think there's no question that, you know, for me, it would be a matter of sending a very clear message to the people in Iran, to the people in North Korea, that the United States is not going to sit by like some blind punk and say, oh, you know, we really didn't see what happened with those gases. We didn't see those chemical weapons getting used. And we're not worried about nuclear weapons now coming into play. And we're not worried about our allies in Turkey and Israel. Gee, I think there's a vital national, international interest in what the president proposed.
Well, why can't the president then build a coalition? The only country at this point even considering joining us is France.
Yeah, well, you know why? I'm surprised to hear that from you, because guess what? Everybody's still reliving the vote to give President Bush authority to go to war in Iraq.
Oh, so this is Bush's fault.
Oh, no, please.
That's beyond silly.
You know what happened, and this is what became so evident in the speech last night? The president, it looks like two-thirds of that speech was written 2 weeks ago, and the last third of it was written about an hour and a half before they got on the TV and addressed the nation, before the president addressed the nation. Because there were non sequiturs in there. It didn't even make sense. The president was trying to sell a proposal for military action while at the same time everybody that is watching the news, studies the issues involved in Middle East affairs, understands that Putin basically has put a situation in place making it very difficult and giving the president a way out. The president has an out now with this proposal from Russia. I don't trust the Russians at all. We've got an office in Moscow. I don't trust the Russian government. And I certainly don't trust the Syrians. But the fact of the matter is, if the president wanted to take decisive action, he could have done that. If our international, imminent international interests and our national security interests were at stake, and there would be a coalescing of the nations, and President Bush was able to do it because our country was attacked and we were responding. The problem with this has been from the outset, it's a civil war between Iran as a proxy with Assad. That's the Iranian part of this, and Al-Qaeda. So we're going to engage ourselves in a civil war between radical Muslim regimes, and that's a no-win for the United States. Now, I hate that chemical weapons were used
here, but I must say you are confusing me. A minute ago you said, don't get involved with this. This is a civil war, which is what the American people think. Then you say it's a proxy war with Iran, and then I think, oh, well, yeah, that's exactly right. Now Jay's on target, and then you say, but the president isn't making the case. But, of course, that's exactly the president's case, and that's why last night's speech, contrary to what you just said, I think is very effective. Most of the American people, according to the Fox polls, say they never really heard the president speak to this issue. I think it's not a matter of moving the polls today. It's a matter of getting the American people to think through what
Really
at stake.
100,000 people died before this chemical attack, going back 30-some-odd months now that this civil war has been ongoing. Up to this point, the United States has done nothing. So you're really saying our involvement is because of the method of death, the method of killing people? Because
correct.
The president didn't do anything. He didn't do a thing about 100,000 dead people.
Correct, because it's a civil war, and as Jay just said to you, you know, it's a civil war, it's their war, and we've been in Afghanistan and Iraq for too long, and the American people...
Okay, well, what about... The president didn't make a compelling case yet. German intelligence unveiled yesterday convincing evidence that Assad did not use poison gas because of these radio intercepts they had, that Assad refused requests from his field commanders to launch a gas attack.
But, you know, Sean, here's
convincing evidence because it could have been people.
Well, where is the convincing evidence?
Let me give you.
Where is the convincing evidence?
I'll give you some convincing evidence. Does anybody doubt, and including my friend Juan, do you doubt for a moment that if the regime that is the so-called rebels, which we now know are overwhelmingly Al-Qaeda-based, is there any doubt in your mind that if they, in fact, were to topple the Assad regime and had access to chemical weapons that they would use them? Do you doubt that those rebels would? Right.
Jay, I'm on your side here.
No, so here's the problem. You got two regimes.
Signal to those people, don't mess with chemical weapons. If you blow up one of those in Times Square, there is no doubt we're going
to
be
and you think radical jihadists are going
to respond to
that?
They're not
going
to respond to that. Of course not. I mean, they don't. That's not how – they don't think rationally. They're not worried about the Geneva Conventions. They're not worried about the rules of international war and international engagement. It is a war that's going on in Syria. It's atrocious what's happening. You've got the one situation where that Christian village, which I think has become kind of the symbol of this. You've got the jihadists coming in there, the Assad regime with all of their problems trying to get them out, maybe for political reasons. But the fact of the matter is this. There's not a winner here. There's not one good side. And we're not willing to go in and engage in a full-blown, boots-on-the-ground, get rid of Assad, get the jihadists out of there, and, you know, try to create a Jeffersonian democracy in the Middle East. That doesn't work. So this other idea, it's nonsensical. We are going to engage in something we don't even know who we're attacking. We don't even know. At this point, we've given the regime, if they do have as many chemical weapons as they probably do, have dispersed them who knows where. And the Russians pull up this play, and basically the president says, I'm not going to ask for a vote now. We're acting as if this is some kind of, you know, 1950s Cold War move here. It's not. This is, I do believe it is Iran uses Assad as a proxy, but he's a proxy for Iran. I do believe that the rebels are primarily Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda-related organizations.
Which, by the way,
is Kerry, a no-win situation.
Which Kerry got wrong. Kerry was trying to make the case that they're moderate and they're not, and that's when Putin called them a liar.
Right.
That,
well,
and it may have been 2 years ago that they were.
Honest, I don't trust Putin one way or the other. But I tell you what, gentlemen, why are you confused about U.S. vital interests in standing up to Assad, in standing up to the Iranians, in making it clear to the Koreans?
Because there's no good. I'll give you the answer.
There's not a good guy.
That's right.
Again, folks, that was Jay on yesterday with Sean Hannity and Juan Williams. We are going to play part two of that interview after the break. But as we go to this break, I need you to go to your phones, 877-989-2255. Tell the president and tell Congress no support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. If we are going to engage Syria, it cannot be in a way that bolsters Al-Qaeda. And the resolution that the Senate had originally considered and that is now on hold would have put us firmly on the side of the rebel opposition that is infused by Al-Qaeda. So as we go to a break, you go to your phones, 877-989-2255.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, we're going to jump right back into part two of this interview from Sean Hannity's radio broadcast from yesterday. Jay was on with Juan Williams and Sean. But before we jump in it, I just want to remind you, if you want to stand with us and say no U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria, of course, that includes the rebel opposition that is more and more infused by Al-Qaeda every day. Secretary Kerry says it's 15% to 25%, and virtually everyone else, including Vladimir Putin, says that that estimate is way, way too low. But even 25%, folks, that is an opposition that the United States should not be standing behind. So as we get back into this interview, go to your phones, add your name to our petition, 877-989-2255. Again, this is part two of Jay's interview on Sean Hannity's program yesterday with Juan Williams.
Listen, Juan, there's no good outcome here because in the end, whatever pinprick strikes we have and whatever runways we bomb, because I don't think we're going to go near population centers where those bombs have been dispersed to, it's going to do in days, not weeks, with no boots on the ground, and to quote John Kerry again and again, as he goes out there and makes a fool of himself, it's going to be an unbelievably small attack. It's not going to have the impact you say, because the likely successor to Assad is the radically linked Islamic rebels with Al-Qaeda ties. They will be the likely successor. They are not governed, as Jay points out, by normal rules of combat or war. Goal is jihad and a caliphate, and they want to turn this into a Muslim state.
Well, look, they are despicable, and I'm glad you feel that way, because that's the way I feel. I think we all agree. But you know what's missing is you guys don't have any sense of creating an alternative scenario, how you flip the script. Why is it that you're not talking about giving aid and support to people who are
humanitarian aid?
I think we should flood Syria with humanitarian relief and humanitarian aid. I think that's the right thing to do. I think we should condemn on the world stage the utilization of chemical weapons.
Well,
I do not think. But hold it. But hold it.
You guys,
but
Juan.
This is the same administration that begged the people in Egypt to not protest against Mohamed Morsi, the Islamic-led Muslim Brotherhood leader, previous leader of Egypt. Do not protest against him. We think he's a moderating force. This was a guy who his first act was to suspend the constitution of Egypt. So, you know, we're picking the wrong side here. Not that, by the way, there is no good side in Syria, and I think that's the biggest part of the problem.
Let me point out another thing here, because the president, part of why this Democrat said it's one of the most humiliating episodes in presidential history, if you read the National Journal, if you read it earlier this morning, remember, the president drew a red line, then denied he even said it, and said it was Congress's red line. The president said it was about regime change, then they bent over backwards to say this is not about regime change. As this has all been unfolding, day after day, Vladimir Putin, who did not have a lot of influence in the area, is gaining influence, poking Obama and America in the eye, calling John Kerry publicly a liar. And unfortunately, he was right and Kerry was wrong. That's embarrassing. He sends ships to the region, threatens that he will put up a shield if we attack Syria, forcing or demanding yesterday that Obama get out and renounce any possible use of arms. Now he's arming Iran. So what's happening here before our eyes is you got a president being embarrassed and humiliated on a world stage.
John, I know you don't like Obama, but I can't believe that you've become a spokesman now, a hype man.
Not a spokesman.
He checkmated us. He doesn't have the strength to stop the United States from bombing Syria.
Excuse me.
Of course not. But you know what he did? He checkmated us. And the president walked into this. The president's position, as articulated by Secretary Kerry, allowed Putin to take the world stage. That's what happened here, because the president could never build up both international support for a military action or domestic support. I mean, Juan, I think you'd have to admit that if it was a vote today, I don't even think it would pass in the Senate. Certainly it wouldn't pass in the House.
Let me add one bit of texture here. But, Juan, this is important, because John Kerry stumbled into this, well, if they give up their weapons now, then we give them a week and they can do it. That's what Putin capitalized on. Initially, the White House said they backed away from what Kerry said. They said what he said was rhetorical, a major goof, and that he had clearly gone off script. Now Kerry's claiming it was done purposefully. It's the Keystone cops that cannot shoot straight here, Juan.
You're not going to get an argument out of me. I don't think they've handled this very well. I think it's been a lot of sort of, you know, ad hoc, this is, what about this, yep. What about that? And I think, as Jay said earlier, Putin, who is a villainous soul, in my opinion, has given the president an out, and the president, in a political box here at home, is taking it, so he's yep. elevated Putin. But, gee, where do you think that Putin all of a sudden is running the world? I don't know. Putin does not have the strength.
Putin's the one that's saying he's going to shoot down our missiles. And let me ask another question. Why didn't we get involved in Rwanda, in the Congo, in, you know, all these areas where mass slaughter goes on around the world?
Would say, yes, let's send people to Rwanda, please. There was even reluctance to send people to Kosovo. Remember, the House didn't vote for that. Clinton just acted after the Senate
okay,
voted. So just remember.
I think the American people realize there's no good outcome. But there's no good possible outcome here based on the military strategy outlined by the president. That's the problem.
Because you don't have a position where there's an ability to govern after this takes place. The biggest problem, Sean, is if you take military action, if it destabilizes the regime, what comes behind it, and the president acknowledged this yesterday, may well be worse. And there's not a good side to this. That's the problem. And what Putin did was a checkmate and upstaged the president. I don't trust Putin at all.
It's
embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
Well,
that we've got Putin.
Jay, is if those guys, the bad guys, worldwide, get the message.
They're not going to take this as a message. You're naive. You're living in a sandbox, in a fantasy world.
You know, if we would have taken action 2 years ago and without all of this nonsense, it would have said, you know what, don't mess with the United States. This negotiated a resolution through Putin, Russia, and we're going to have the Chinese now verifying it. I mean, it's absurd. The president's going to take it as an out because he couldn't win it politically. He did have authority probably 2 years ago to act. He wanted to go to Congress.
Right.
3 years
you know,
ago, he had to go to Congress.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, but the United States, we have
has
one
been humiliated on the world
now.
Stage by Vladimir Putin because the president drew a line in the sand and he tried to act tough and it didn't work out. I got to roll though, guys. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sean.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity and Juan Williams from yesterday. If you agree with Jay's position that he outlined in that interview, no support, U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria, call now 877-989-2255. And, folks, as we close the broadcast here on September 12th, 2013, I just want to kind of speak to the 12-year anniversary of 9/11 that we just had and the one-year anniversary of the attack in Libya, in Benghazi. 9/11/2001 is always going to be a vivid memory for me. I was here in Washington, D.C. early in my career working on the Hill. I was in the Capitol when the buildings were hit in New York City. Of course, shortly thereafter, the Pentagon was hit. We evacuated and a great deal of chaos ensued. But the point that always comes to the top of my mind as we have these anniversaries, as we look back on 9/11/2001, was that on that day, al-Qaeda attacked the United States and killed more than 3,000 Americans. Fast forward more than 12 years later, and we're looking at Syria. The United States is considering siding with an al-Qaeda-infused rebel opposition in Syria. The same al-Qaeda, granted in a different form, but the same al-Qaeda that attacked us 12 years ago, folks, that cannot happen. I know that Syria is a complex situation. I know that the Assad regime is one that is not our ally, that is an evil regime, quite frankly, that appears to have used chemical weapons on their own people. They are radical. They are dangerous. But if we have learned anything from 9/11/2001, it needs to be that we cannot bolster al-Qaeda. If you agree with that, call now 877-989-2255 to add your name to our petition. Again, 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.